Greetings, radio friends. This is Dr. William R. Glaze, your teacher and preacher here on the Anchored in Jesus radio program. I hope that you are having a fruitful summer and taking some time out to spend in the presence of the Lord. I'm coming to you at this time because we have a need that I would like to share with you. We have fallen behind in paying for our radio time and would like for you to join us in making up this shortfall. I know the show has blessed many people throughout the years. Some have even taken the time to write and let me know what the show has meant to them. Here is one of those letters. Pastor Glaze, I listen to you on Word FM. Thank you for your faithfulness to God's Word. Your messages have been encouraging to me so many times, just what the divine physician ordered to help me spiritually when I was in need. Your latest messages have come just in time during an especially trying time of my life. May God continue to bless, strengthen, and encourage you. Wow, what a letter. Any financial assistance that you can give will enable us to continue to help people like this dear soul who wrote this message. The show has especially touched those who are incarcerated, who write and ask for materials, but of course are not able to contribute. Here's what I'm asking you to do. Would you please consider a tax-deductible gift to help bring our expenses up to date? And then secondly, would you consider giving on a regular basis to the ongoing expenses of the Anchored in Jesus radio program? My friends, it's been a long time since I've personally come to you on the radio to ask for your help. I can assure you that every penny you give goes directly to the radio ministry. I have never received any financial remuneration from the radio ministry, and we have no paid staff. All those who help produce and broadcast the show are volunteers. In these perilous times, I'm more committed than ever to preach the word of God to those who need it, regardless of their ability to pay. I want to take what I preach on Sunday mornings and make it available all over the world through the internet and this radio broadcast. Would you continue to help us do that? Of course, I continue to solicit your prayer support. This ministry functions and is able to stay on the air through your prayers. But we also have financial needs that help us to get the word of God out. You can make your checks payable to the Anchored in Jesus radio program, P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. That's P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Or you can give online at the Anchored in Jesus website, www.anchoredinjesus.org. That's www.anchoredinjesus.org. And once you get to our website, you can hit the Donate Now page. Thank you in advance for your help. I'm trusting the Lord for His provision, and I'm asking you to seek the Lord on how you can participate in helping us. Thank you for listening, and to God be the glory.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, author and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. Today, Dr. Glaze will conclude Two Men, Two Ways, Two Destinies, Part 2. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of Two Men, Two Ways, Two Destinies, Part 2.
This, not only complete them, but you will, this is good, this is good. You will experience the blessings that go along with the completion. For instance, if God speaks to your heart about getting a four-year degree, and you go and you get a four-year degree, that when you get that diploma, that's what? That's prosperity, right? That's prosperity. Now you can do what? You can go forth and you can enjoy the blessings of having a bachelor's degree. And, it, you know, again, that's just one example, but there's a lot of things that God is calling his people to do. And as you complete them, you complete them, then you enjoy the blessings. Oh man, that's good. That's, you know what? That's good preaching, man. Amen. Amen, Pastor Glaze. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Wow. You can enjoy the blessings of what you complete. You know, one of the things I like to do. Oh, I'm gonna tell you. Let me tell you one of the things I like to do. In the summertime, hot day, my wife thinks I'm crazy. I put my sweats on, pull my hood over my head, and go cut my grass. And then I cut it. Then I'll get my weed eater, right? Just go around and trim it all up. And sometimes I have to go cut my hedges. Then I'll go take a shower. Get me a glass of lemonade. Sit on my front porch and just look at my yard. Right? Completion and enjoying the blessings. Enjoying the blessings. That's what prosperity means. But the exact thing is opposite of the ungodly man. What is his compare? Conclusion is perishing. Look what it says here. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Again, commentators are divided to this word perish. Some people think that it means perish in eternity. And other commentators say, well, you know, that the way, the end of their journey is destruction. That, you know, they don't complete what they're supposed to do, and the end of their journey is destruction. And you know what? Let's be honest. Without putting up your hands, don't anybody put up your hands. Don't anybody put up your hands. But just think about in your family, people who have been on an ungodly road. We can all think of somebody in our family that have been on an ungodly road and ended up where? In a destructive situation. Might have ended up in jail. Might have ended up losing your car. Might have ended up losing your home. Might end up losing your family. The way of the ungodly, what? Leads to what? Destruction. Leads to destruction. And you know, sometimes you think that you're doing something and that destructing, you think you're going to keep getting away with it. Yeah, I was Friday night, I was watching this thing on, they did a thing on Bernie Madoff and how he ripped all these people off. And all the time, you know, this guy is going on lavish vacations. He's staying in penthouse apartments. I mean, he's just enjoying it the whole way. But that was the way of what? That was, as I sat there, my mind came right back to this message. That is the way of the what? The ungodly. Ripping people off. Their retirement. People banking their retirement on you. And you're ripping them off. How ungodly is that? There's nothing godly about that at all. And the end of that is what? Destruction. Just think about, man, and see, that's why we need to pray for our loved ones. We need to pray for our loved ones who are on wrong paths. Have you ever thought about saying to somebody that did it their way? How'd that work out for you? How'd that work out for you? Generally, it doesn't. And we thank God that he's a God of a second, third, fourth, fifth chance, and that he opens up another way for them to go, and that if they will just see the way and go that way, that God will lead them to the way of prosperity. But there are so many people that we look around and we see that they are ungodly and that their end is destruction, whether it's in this life or the life to come. So let me wind this message down and get to where I really want to be. Christian, you got to change your evil ways. Before I stop, no, just kidding. Way Christians are ungodly. And these are 10 ways, and I'm just going to show you. Because you know what, again, right, we can sit here this morning and say, well, you know, he's talking about the ungodly man or woman. That don't refer to me, all right? But even though, like I said, even though Christians might not be ungodly, they can have ungodly ways. Number 10 is greed. is greed. How many Christians you know that are just greedy? Get all they can all they get, and sit on the can. Luke 12 talks about the man who said, hey, I'm going to tear down my barns, and I'm going to build greater barns. And you know what? The condemnation, we all know that passage. We've all heard it before, where the rich man said, my soul is nourished. My soul is fed. He said, I'm going to tear down my barns. I'm going to build greater barns. I'm going to do greater. And you know what? The condemnation was not in him doing greater. You know what the condemnation was in? Is that as a Jewish person, that when you get blessed over and abundantly, what are you supposed to do? You're supposed to look out for the poor. You're supposed to give to somebody that's in need. And instead of him doing that, see, the condemnation was not in him building barns and bigger barns. That's not where the condemnation was. The condemnation is that he was going to take everything that he made and store it up for who? For me, myself, and I. Okay, you remember that poem I told, right? I had a little tea party this afternoon at 3. It was very small, 3 guests in all, just I, myself, and me. I ate all the sandwiches while I drank all the tea, which was also I that ate the pie. Now pass the cake to me. So you see, that's where this guy was. You know, he was greedy. And if Christians are not careful, you know, we can be ungodly and manifest this whole character of greed. Number 9, slothfulness. The reason that a lot of Christians don't have more than they have spiritually is because of laziness. You just want to sit back for the ride. You know, again, we don't work to get saved, but we work because we are saved. And so that, you know, slothfulness has killed many a dream. You know, as a matter of fact, Proverbs says this, that the soul of the sluggard desires and has nothing. Oh, Lord, I want to read through my Bible, but I'm too lazy to do it. Lord, I want to pray, but I'm too lazy to do it. You know, just think about all the blessings that people miss, that God's people miss because of slothfulness. That's 9. Now, again, this is a poll, unofficial poll, so you can take it for what it's worth. But I kind of think that as we go through these top 10, that somewhere, the stone is going to hit on somebody's feet, right? And you're going to say, instead of saying, amen, you're going to say, oh, me. 8. Number 8 is lust. 8. You know, as a matter of fact, let me read this verse right here. James. Turn to James. Now, again, I quoted it a couple of weeks ago, and the statistics say that in any Christian congregation that there are 50% of the men that's dealing with pornography. And Deacon Corbin, he's not here this morning, but he said something about the women. I forget what percentage that was dealing with their lustful issues. Okay, verse 14, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. So, you know, that kind of shoots in the head this philosophy about the devil made me do it, right? The devil might put the temptation out there, but you do it. The devil didn't make you do it. And James is telling us that right here. He said, every man or woman, when he or she is drawn away, is drawn of their own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it brings forth sin. So, you know, the idea, James is presenting a powerful picture here. He's saying that you have the egg and the sperm. Basically, this is what he's saying in the Greek. You have the egg and the sperm. And when the two come together, right, what happens? They conceive. All right? When sin and lust come together, they conceive. And then he goes on to tell us what they can see. All right. It says, when lust hath conceived, it brings forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, it brings forth death. The ultimate result is death. But yet still, you know, Christians are lusting. You know, and let's not only look at sexual lusting, that you're lusting after the possessions of other people. You're lusting after things that you don't have. You know, that's the problem with a lot of people is lust, is that they want things, they buy things that they can't afford with money they don't have to impress people they don't like. That's the problem. That's the problem, right? And so even that, you know, lusting after possessions, lusting after other things, that this is something that the child of God must be careful of, because this is an ungodly way. You know, it's easy for us to sit up here, oh, yeah, well, I'm the blessed person. There goes the ungodly person over. No, no. We might be blessed, but sometimes we can be ungodly. Number 7. Oh, no, he didn't. Christians lying. I'll tell you what. I don't even know what to say about this. Don't even know what to say about it. I think sometimes Christians lie more than the world. Wow. Ananias and Sapphira. We have a perfect example. They sold their possessions and they came to the apostles. The apostles said, did you sell it for such and such? And they said, well, we know we sold it for such and such. And you remember the husband, he lost his life. The wife lost her life. And what was the conclusion? That you have not lied unto men, but you have lied unto God. Number 7, lying. Number 6, hypocrisy. Oh, somebody's just on the front said, oh, that's a good one. Hypocrisy. Hypocrites. You say that one thing and you do something else. That's ungodly. That's ungodly. Now, again, I'm not saying that as Christians we're not going to slip up. That's not the point that I'm making. But some of us are portraying something and we're trying to make other people think something that we're not. You know, that word hypocrisy comes from out of the Greek world, where the actors on a stage, that they would go up. You ever see it like back in the Roman days when they had the people with the masks on, or sometimes they would hold them in front of their face, or sometimes, you know what those actors were called? They were called hypocrites. And why were they called hypocrites? Because they were pretending to be somebody that they weren't. All right? So we need to let our yea be yea and our nay be nay. And we need to, you know, be the same thing in public and the same thing at home. That we need to let our life match up with our talk, with our heart. That we need to be people of the book and love the Lord. Number 5. Ah, anger. Number five on the Christian top 10 hit list. Christians get angry. Now, you know what? Probably there's nothing wrong with the anger. There's nothing wrong with the anger. There's nothing wrong with the anger. And I probably should have put slash something else, right? Because what did Paul say? He said, be angry and don't sin. But I see a lot of Christians that get angry and sin. So they let their anger cause them to sin. That's ungodliness. That's ungodliness. You know, Jesus got angry. And he channeled his anger in positive ways to the glory of God. So anger. Number 4. Pride. Pride is number 4. You know... The biggest sin between a married couple is pride. It's pride. Somebody might say, well, money, adultery. Well, all those things kind of figure. The biggest is what? Pride. Because people do not want to humble themselves. And, you know, and you think about that, you know, what keeps, you know, a lot of people from reconciling? What, the husbands and wives from reconciling? Pride. Because they feel that, well, you know what? I'm not going to do anything until they, you know. You know, they wouldn't have hurt me like that. Then, I, you know, I would, you know. It's all pride. Pride. You know, what keeps, you know, what causes a person to lose their job? Pride. They try to do things and stroke their ego. Pride. And so we need to realize as believers that pride is ungodly because, again, it leads us to do things that we shouldn't do. Number three. I don't even need to say anything. Don't even need to say anything. Number two. Number two, selfishness. You know, it's all about me. You know, you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and at the communion table, you know, there were some sitting there eating prime rib, and the others sitting there eating tube steaks. And the guys over here didn't want to share with the guys over there. And it was just about, you know, this is my got mine, you got to get yours. And it was just this whole, and that's why Paul condemned the people in 1 Corinthians 11, because of their selfishness. They weren't willing to share with their brothers. But, you know, there was that spirit of selfishness. And then the number one, this is number one, idolatry. Idolatry. What is idolatry? Let me give you a simple definition of idolatry. Anything you put before God. Anything you put before God is an idol. So you can think about your life. Are there some things in your life that you put before the Lord? And at the point that you put it before God, it becomes an idol. And, you know, I don't need to elaborate on this. You know, we can just think on our own lives. You know, there are certain things that we have to do. You know, we have to go to work. You know, we have to worship the Lord. You know, there's certain things we have to do. There's certain things that we like to do. And there's nothing wrong with what you like to do. But if what you like to do comes before the Lord, now, and I'm not, because somebody say, you know, he's a preacher, he's talking about coming. No, I'm not talking about coming to church. All right, so we can just, let's strike that out. I'm not talking about coming to church, that you put something. I'm talking about, let's even take church out of it. Let me just ask you a question. If there's things that God has put on your heart to do, and you have let other things take the place of that, that thing is an idol in your life, and you have to deal with it. And you can go back in the Old Testament and see how ungodly idolatry was. So it's easy to talk about the ungodly man, but let us talk about blessed people who do ungodly things.
This is Dr. William R. Glaze, and as we close out the program today, let me remind you that we need your help. First, we ask you that you continue to pray for this ministry, and second, please remember us in your giving. Any financial contribution that you give will assist us in the ongoing work of this ministry. May the Lord richly bless you.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the first half of a revelation that requires an examination. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's teaching, Two Men, Two Ways, Two Destinies, Part 2, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Two Men, Two Ways, Two Destinies, Part 2. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Two Men, Two Ways, Two Destinies, Part 2. Or call us at 877-831-5060. Today's teaching is part of a larger series of messages from the Book of Psalms. You can request the entire 24-part series when visiting anchoredinjesus.org or by calling 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is now the author of 5 books. For more information on how you can order these powerful resources, please visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. Dr. Glaze has also published a downloadable brochure on politics that can help you parallel your political views with God's Word. This is also available on anchoredinjesus.org. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. As we conclude today's broadcast, let me remind you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.